Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 104. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
We have a winner.
We do?
We have a winner, dude, and it is the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yes, this is true. First time in Sharks franchise history that they lost to the eventual cup winner.
So you know what that means.
It all comes back to us.
Oh, I was going to say it means nothing.
Oh, right. Well, that too.
Do you know what it really means? We lost to the best, dude.
We lost to the best.
We got swept by the best.
We got absolutely smoked by the best team in the league.
I'm feeling upbeat about the Sharks today, dude.
Yeah, I'm too. And I'm feeling even more upbeat about my early feeling that the Blackhawks were going to be great for a long time, because I heard some more stuff recently that means that Chicago's even going to be in more trouble than I thought.
Ooh,
cap-wise.
Well, please do expand on that.
Allow me to. Basically, if you're a young player and you have an entry-level contract, like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews do this
year. It was up this year.
The cap was up this year. And actually, you're allowed to exceed the cap with player bonuses. And they did. The Blackhawks exceeded the upper limit of the cap by like $4 million.
So what happens to them?
It comes off next year's cap.
Get out of here.
No joke. So they're already committed like $56 or $57 million, but their actual cap hit, their actual upper limit is only going to be $54 million. So they can't even keep the players that they currently have under contract. It's not even possible.
That's funny.
Yeah, and that means that, you know, and Niemi's not under contract. I mean, they have RFAs and UFAs.
They only have 14 guys signed for next year.
Right. So they're losing. I thought maybe they were going to lose like one or two guys. They're going to lose more than that. They're going to lose. I mean, we talked about Sharp and Boland and Bufflin and Versteeg. They might lose three of those guys. And I think actually we might have an email about that. So let me pull up the email.
But there's even been talk, I've read talk, that they should consider trading Marian Hossa.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, Hossa's $5.3 million of that cap hit problem. Mm-hmm. You got him. You used him.
Yes.
You got him what you wanted out of him. You got the cup. And now maybe would you rather keep Sharp and Versteeg and try and get someone to take? Or is that Hossa deal just completely untradeable? It's untradeable, right?
It's only like $5 million. It's not super bad under the cap.
It's for 40 more years.
Yeah, but the contract they really want to get rid of is the Brian Campbell contract, because that's 7+. Actually, I need to give credit where credit is due about this topic, because we did get an email from Jacob about that. And he actually sent me the link to James Myrtle's article, and he said, I know you've talked about how they're likely have to deal Versteeg, Bufflin, Sharp, and Boland, but they might have to get three of them. So basically, I was pretending that I remembered it, but in fact, I was actually plagiarizing Jacob without knowing it. So Jacob, I'm sorry about that, and it's a good topic, and it makes me even happier for the Sharks' future prospects, because it's possible that the Hawks could be relatively decimated next year.
Are you saying you pulled a Garner?
I don't know what you mean by that. I have no idea what that means.
Well, anyway, you'll find out what it means when he writes about the same topic tomorrow on his blog.
I guess so. All right, dude. Well, we came in here. Actually, here's another piece of news. I have in my hand, you just gave me some information about Select-A-Seat. So
that's right.
Next week, we're going to be running around HP Pavilion trying to find new seats.
Maybe. Or we may stick with what we've already got. We did like our seats this year.
We did.
For the most part, you know, the people around us, especially people next to us, very pleasant.
Yes, absolutely.
The seats right in front behind us were always different people. I think either whoever they had just sold them, or I think the seats behind us were actually just never taken. They were just sold on a daily game day basis. And it was annoying, because the guy in front of us, when he did show up, he was a Red Wings fan. And that's always annoying, because there's no redeeming Red Wings fans. You heard me, Chris.
Yeah, and there were even Blackhawks fans in those seats during the Blackhawks series, although they weren't too obnoxious.
That's just wrong.
I think they had just cut the tags off the new Blackhawks jersey when they walked in the arena, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had the look, the sheen, if you will, of a brand new bandwagon jumper.
Yeah, nobody has a crisp new Thomas Kopechki jersey.
Yeah. Right.
How many Andrew Ladd jerseys are floating around out there?
Not many at all.
Dude, there's some Sharks news this week. You know, let's start with kind of the light news that Henrik Karlsson, mm-hmm. who was signed last year to basically, you know, bring water to Greiss and Nabokov during the playoffs, is signed with the KHL, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Russian league. So I think, is that confirmed information?
I don't know. You know, I just take everything I read on Fear the Finn to be truth.
Because I do want to... Because we talked with Eric Lindquist last week about Danny Gruel and how he may have signed with the KHL. And actually, I heard some stuff, additional legwork, I think, done by John Swenson at Sharks Page, saying that that wasn't confirmed yet and that he may just be in talks with the KHL. So Danny Gruel may actually still be around in the AHL, although I don't think he's signed by the Worcester Sharks or the San Jose Sharks for next year. But it's possible that he might play in the KHL, but that's not yet confirmed. So that's one thing that we kind of messed up a little bit next week. And so is this Karlsson thing a done deal, or is it more of the same?
Well, I mean, I suppose it looks like it's more of the same. You know, there's a quote from what looks to be like a Swedish website, mm-hmm. you know, saying that Rush has always been a bit of a dream from him on sportbladet.com.
Sportbladet.
I love it. Don on Erdy Versty Burke. So I don't know.
A guy that we've never seen play goal is no longer a Shark.
Yeah. I guess that means one of three things. Either they didn't like him as much as they like Rice,
mm-hmm.
if he is truly gone, or they're bringing back Nabokov,
mm-hmm.
or they are, in fact, going to pursue a free agent stopgap to either share time with Greiss or play the full load. We really won't know until July 1st rolls around.
Although if there's a website, I do believe it's Sharks Page, and Sharks Page was spreading a rumor, also unconfirmed, that they're leaning towards re-signing Nabokov. How did you take this news?
Not well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
I'm I'll believe it when it happens, dude. You know, I'll believe it when it happens. I still don't think that's the way they're going to go. And if they do, maybe it really will be just like a one-year deal.
Right.
I can't see them going any sort of term.
Because it will be a 35 and over contract, so which means that it's going to count against the cap no matter what, unless he retires. You know, if he goes to the minors or if he gets injured, it still counts. It's a really tough spot. I don't know why they'd give a 35-year-old goaltender a lot of money when you got five guys in the system and some free agents that we've talked about before. So it seems like, frankly, I got to talk about the poll question, right? Because we did the poll question. Who should the Sharks resign?
Right.
Patrick Marleau or Nabokov?
Do we have the final numbers?
Yeah, let me pull it up. Because I don't think it was like a ridiculous, it was a ridiculous count. It was, let's see. So you had two choices, Patty or Nabokov. 74-0 is the final tally. Everybody chose Patrick Marleau.
Wow.
So I think the fans have spoken about
and
that.
And then some.
The 74 of them, anyway, have spoken. And I need to understand. I don't understand why you would keep Nabokov. I know Fear the Finn published a stat that I've seen before that he, in terms of post-lockout, amongst goalies that have played over 100 games, Nabokov is 25th in save percentage. So that is not an elite statistic.
Sign him up.
Yeah. So now he's 35. His you know, play is probably going to go a little bit downhill. We can expect it to tail off. You know, I just don't understand. I still don't understand why you would keep him around. I just don't get it. Unless it's like a straight PR move, or is this a Doug Wilson, rosy glasses view of Nabokov because he's already in the system? I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, like I said, I'll believe it when it happens.
Yeah.
I've got to believe that, you know, the money that's coming off the books that you could use from Nabokov's $5 million leaving, from Blake's, you know, money leaving, that they could use this to actually go out and get the number two defenseman that they really need,
mm-hmm.
and go with Greiss and a stopgap. And, you know, like we've talked about, we've beaten this topic to death. You know, you see the teams that were left standing at the end, they didn't have high price goalies. The high price goalies were all gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, that's, I hope the theme that Doug Wilson will follow is trusting that his team will be good enough that he doesn't have to have the overpriced goalie in between the pipes. The other big piece of news is that Rob Blake is retiring.
Today. Right. Yeah. So he's, well, that's also unconfirmed, although it was reported in CSN, and there's a press conference scheduled for Friday. So it's pretty much a done deal, right? They're still trying to be a little bit hush about it, but it's over. Rob Blake's calling it a career at 40 or 41, and he had a couple good years with the Sharks, and so there's going to be some questions now that he's going to be gone. There's another hole on defense, and now there's going to be a hole at the captaincy.
Now, let me ask you this before we get to this. Rob Blake, NHL All-Rookie Team 1991, All-Star in 94, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, First Team All-Star 98, Second Team All-Star 2000, 2001, 2002, Norris Trophy 98, Stanley Cup 2001, mm-hmm. Hall of Famer?
Is that a question or a statement? Oh, man. No, I'd put in Dino Cicerelli over him. Just kidding. Yeah, Rob Blake, whatever it's five years or 2 years or whatever the statute of limitations is.
Lock Hall of Famer.
He's a lock. Yeah. Absolute lock. Yeah, yeah.
Although I do fault him for only getting a silver medal in 1991 at the World Championships.
That does sting.
Have you been watching the World Cup, too?
Yeah, a little bit. I watched U.S. versus England. It was pretty entertaining. I've been meaning to watch some more matches, but I'll probably watch some more as it goes along. My mom had a funny statement. She said it's like hockey, but slower.
Are you telling me you didn't watch the Ivory Coast and Portugal today at a 0-0 draw?
The two greatest nations on earth, Ivory Coast and Portugal.
Oh, God. I did watch some Brazil and... it was
North Korea
2-1.
I'm surprised it was that close. I was expecting like a 7.
Well, they scored at the very end.
A 7-0. It was a pretty
shellacking. I think Brazil had already decided what restaurant they were going to.
Right.
You never though that goal differential business can really cost you in the end, although I think they're going to be okay in that group, but that might have helped North Korea maybe a little bit if Portugal continues to tie everybody.
Yeah.
Dude, so getting back to, well, should we tackle the captaincy first?
I guess we probably should.
We've heard Mark Purdy say that maybe Dan Boyle is a little bit too hot-headed to be the captain of the San Jose Sharks. So taking that into account, do you believe that the stone cold lock captain of the Sharks is Joe Pavelski?
He has to be. It's a two horse race, right? I mean, who's even in the running?
Has Pavs even worn an A?
Nope.
So he's going to go straight to the C.
He may have worn an A on a temporary basis when some people were out with injury last year, I think. But
are we discounting Joe Thornton as the captain of this team?
Yes, I think so.
I certainly wouldn't vote for it, but are we taking that for granted?
We might be. We might be taking it for granted, but geez, really?
I'm not saying it should happen. I'm just saying we were already surprised once when they named Rob Blake captain. Could we be prepared to be surprised again?
Yeah, I think we could. That doesn't make me happy to think about that, to be honest. That doesn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Do you think they're going to go which route? Are they going to anoint a captain before training camp, or are they going to do the same thing that they did this year and kind of draw it out?
They'll do the same thing. They'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
They'll draw it out.
So it's possible that Derek Jocelyn could be the captain.
It's possible. It's technically possible. Jay Leach.
I have already got a nomination for who should replace Rob Blake on the blue line.
Okay. Dude. Oh, he's wearing his Semenov shirt. Nice, dude.
Size, big slap shot, likes to cry.
Yeah, he's got everything.
Dude, what about JR crying at the Stanley Cup Finals?
You took a lot of heat for that. Yeah, there's no crying in hockey, right? Isn't that like a rule? Yeah. How did you take it? Some people took it as sort of self-petulance in that he was crying over his own lack of Stanley Cup. I didn't take it that way.
I didn't take it like that either. I think it was an emotional moment for him. He played a lot of hockey for both those teams. And, you know, I'm sure there was a tint of jealousy, but
sure.
Mostly just happy for, I think he was happy to see one of those towns have the cup.
I think he was really happy for Chicago. He's been on the record and said that he wished he was not traded from Chicago when he was traded to Phoenix. And that he would rather have stayed with Chicago. And, you know, they had the longest stretch of not winning the cup of any team in the National Hockey League. And I think, yeah, I think it kind of hit him that they finally won it and he was happy for them. Of course, he was, it was probably a little bit bittersweet because he wasn't there. And what are you going to do? I the fact that he cried, though, everybody gets to jump on with both feet, right? There's no crying in hockey. You know, you get teeth knocked out.
Pulled a Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, a little bit. Although Mike Schmidt just buckled like a bell. JR just sort of blinked back some tears and had a little trembling chin thing.
Yeah. Then Mike Milbury's like, it's okay. I've made some terrible trades.
He's like,
don't cry, JR.
He's like, I basically cost the Islanders the cup for the next 20 years.
I would have traded you for a sack of nickels.
Roberto Luongo and Trevor Linden for Mark Parrish?
Sure.
Whatever that is.
And he traded Chara too, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. And Topper Juzy.
Good job. Okay. Dude.
Yeah.
Let's get to the topic at hand of replacing Rob Blake. Okay. Let me tell you why I'm feeling a little optimistic. Optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, dude, that this could be the first time in San Jose Sharks franchise history that we actually sign a free agent.
Like a big one?
Like a big one. Really? And I've been thinking about it today, and I've been looking at the teams that have cap room. When you look at the teams that have the cap room to make serious offers to some of these big money players, all right, St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
no one wants to go. Atlanta, no thank you. The Islanders,
yeah,
no chance. The Avalanche, they're not. I don't think they're going to do that.
Right. That's, you know, not their mold right now.
Phoenix, not yet. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Sharks at $20 million. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have a lot of our own business to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming Nabby's gone, could the Sharks use Nabby's money and make a $5 to $5.5 million offer to one of these free agent defensemen?
You mean like Volchenkov?
They could. And if you're Volchenkov and you have a choice between taking, you know, that kind of money from Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
or from the Sharks, don't you think that that puts the Sharks in a better position than they've been in several years in the free agent market?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I think they've had some money to spend in previous years and they just haven't. I don't think the barrier is money to spend. The barrier is either players don't want to come here or Doug Wilson doesn't sign players to come here, and I don't think that's frankly going to change.
It's not just the money, dude. It's the competition in the marketplace that I think is really going to potentially prove to be to the Sharks' benefit. That, you know, if you're Volchenkov or you're Dan Hamhuis and you're sitting around mulling a couple of $5 million offers, you're going, geez. You know, this happened to Brian Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could go to Chicago or I could go to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or the Sharks.
Or I could stay in San Jose. And he was able to make the choice, I think, take the second most amount of money and go to Chicago. It worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, it did.
So for the Sharks to be in that kind of position, at least I find it a little bit encouraging. So I want to talk about the free agents really quickly, and I want you to pick for me who you would take.
Okay.
All right. Zibin Yekmahalik.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Might be number one on my list.
Really? Okay.
I just think that he is mobile. He has size. He blocks shots. He hits people. He could be Dan Boyle's Seabrook. He could play those big time minutes against the opposition's top line, play 22, 23 minutes a night. I like Zibin Yekmahalik. And, you know, I think his bro would give San Jose some points, don't you? You know, it's not so bad. The girls are pretty hot. I like Original Joes, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Not so bad. What about, here's a crazy idea. What about making a one-year big money offer to Sergei Gonchar?
Yeah. Yeah, Sergei Gonchar would be pretty nice.
Why not? I mean, if Pittsburgh doesn't have the money, and as I'm looking at their cap situation, they have $11 million to spend, and they're probably looking more to shore up their forward situation, some wingers to play with their talent up there. See if he'll take the Blake deal. $5 million, 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gonchar, I think, gets a bit of a bum rap. I mean, yeah, he is injury prone, but he played the most average minutes when healthy on the kill, on the power play, and even strength for Pittsburgh. Mm. This guy is a winner too.
Yeah.
And I mean, can you imagine Boyle and Gonchar tormenting?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Opposition, just you could split them up. You could play them together. I mean, that would be a nightmare for other teams. Dude, here's another name for you that we haven't talked about that much. And I think I talked about him on the blog. What about Johnny Boychuk?
Yeah. Not a lot of history in the league, though,
no,
right?
No, but he did really well as Zdeno Chara's partner. Now, I think someone said that, you know, anyone could do well right. as Zdeno Chara's partner.
I think Dan McGillis had a good time with Zdeno Chara.
But in the playoffs, he played a lot of minutes for them.
Mm-hmm.
What about Henrik Tallander?
Yeah.
Shutdown defenseman, Olympian shutdown defenseman. He's not sexy, but he's Swedish. That's sexy, right?
That's sexy in
he's
and
got
itself.
Size. Probably won't be as expensive. Douglas Murray, call him up. Hey,
yeah,
come on down.
Lutefisk.
Paul Martin.
Yeah, we've talked about Paul Martin before.
Now, you know,
I like Paul Martin.
He could also be, now he doesn't have the size that Seabrook has to complement, like mm-hmm. Keith kind of being a little bit undersized.
Mm-hmm.
Martin's not going to have that size, but you know, if you have Martin, maybe is he like a poor man's Brian Rafalski almost a little
oh,
bit?
Oh yeah, that's sort of his deal. I'm leaning a little bit more towards an offensive guy.
Out of those five,
mm-hmm.
if you could have any of them, who would you pick?
I would pick Paul Martin out of those five. I would pick Paul Martin. And I would certainly take Anton Volchenkov over Zibanejad Mihalik. If we're talking anybody, because I think Mihalik might be just as much of a big land free agent as Volchenkov.
Yeah,
be.
I had excluded Hamhuis, Volchenkov, and Niedermeyer because I think that they might just be so over the $5 million mark for those guys mm-hmm. from somebody that Wilson just won't even get involved.
Volchenkov has less than 20 points, and we see how a guy like Mike Komisarek gets $4.5 million, and I think right. some people aren't even happy with that deal because he doesn't score. And Volchenkov blocks a ton of shots, he can hit, but he has no real offensive ability.
Would he really work in this system anyways?
I'm not sure. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure I would want Volchenkov because not that him and Douglas Murray are in the same class, but they're kind of the same kind of player. And
right.
do you really need two of them?
Probably not.
I don't know if you'd need two of them. And so I would put Volchenkov above Mihalik for sure. I'm not sure I would really want either of them if Doug Murray is on the team. I would much rather have a more offensive guy like Martin, Gonchar, or Hamhuis, frankly. I think I would probably put them in that order. Martin, Gonchar, and then Hamhuis.
What's the price tag you put on Paul Martin?
He's going to get at least 4.5, I would think.
Even with his injury problems last year, I think that might scare off some people. See, I see him maybe falling through the cracks a little bit.
See, this is a thin offseason in terms of free agents. There's a lot of guys that signed really long-term deals, and a lot of the very biggest name players in the league are signed for a long, long time. So I think GMs that want to get better, they're not going to have a lot of choices. And I think that could really help guys like Paul Martin and Zibanejad Mihalik and stuff, because if you have Brian Rafalski and Chris Pronger and Scott Niedermeyer and Dan Boyle and all these guys unrestricted, then a guy like Hamhuis or Mihalik can fall through the cracks. But when you're really the number one defenseman available is Volchenkov. And this is a guy that scored 17 points last year.
Right.
So a guy like Zibanejad Mihalik looks a lot better in that light. And I think Paul Martin could look a lot better too. I think, like I said before, Paul Martin would have been on the U.S. Olympic team if he wasn't hurt. So it's not like this guy is some sort of slouch. I just don't buy it. I just don't buy that the Sharks are going to go out and get a big-time free agent. And I know Fear the Finn wrote a post about maybe going and getting Kovalchuk. And
that seems less likely just because, I mean, I read the same post and, you know, they made an argument. I think that, you know, Kovalchuk is a stronger producer than Marlowe, more mm-hmm. of a natural leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
that may all very well be true.
They also threw in at the end this, if you need Kovalchuk, you know, do you really need Heatley? Like, aren't yeah. they sort of the same kind of thing? I mean, Kovalchuk has more speed, but...
Well, they were both in the same team for a while.
Right, and that didn't go very well.
Well, that's because Atlanta's terrible.
I know, but it's not like... I think they created a lot of highlights. They didn't win a lot of games.
Yeah.
So, now, they didn't have the same supporting
cast.
Yeah,
there's kind of a drop-off between Danny Heatley and Rich Peverly.
Dude.
I know. Rich Peverly. He's your like fantasy hero, Rich Peverly.
All right. Well, I just wanted to throw out some of those names. And I, so you're saying out of percentage, 100%, what would you say? Percentage that the Sharks sign one of those guys.
Like a $3 to $4 to $5 million defenseman?
Percentage chance.
I'm going to go 20%.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give it a little bit more. I'm going to say 40%.
Okay.
And I'm usually of the same opinion of views that there's just no way. It just doesn't happen. I just think this year it could be different. Now, if Nabby resigns, it goes to 0%,
mm-hmm.
which is unfortunate because then what are we looking at? You know, if Nabby resigns, well, that money's gone.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to let Marlowe walk, which, I mean, choosing Nabby over Marlowe would be a totally bewildering situation.
Yeah, that would just be so random and dumb. I can't imagine that. With you let Marlowe go and Joe Thornton's only got 1 year left. So you're going to decimate the top line in 2 years to keep a 35-year-old goaltender? It's like, what? When you have like, you know, the rookie, maybe should have been a rookie of the year in the AHL and Alex Stalock and others. Jeez, man. I just can't see that happening.
So if we don't go the free agent route and we have to go the trade route, which is what we normally have to do, here are some of the names that are popping up. Sheldon Surrey.
Yeah.
Interested?
The injury thing is even worse with Surrey than it is with Paul Martin. Paul Martin is at least sort of young. Surrey is not. I'm sure Surrey is carrying around about three or four old injuries with him, and he's got various parts of his body that are weaker due to that injury. You know, a year ago we were high on this guy, but then he got hurt immediately as soon as he signed with Edmonton. I'm certainly, the shine is off the rose in Sheldon Surrey as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'd love to have that booming shot, but not at for $5.6 million. And
isn't it the same sort of problem that we would have had like with Rob Blake? Immobile. Blake certainly maybe even better than Surrey in his own zone. Surrey is not going to be confused for a Hall of Famer anytime soon.
No.
A little bit one-dimensional. I don't think I'm really interested, even for this, you know, phantom price of Torrey Mitchell and Kent Huskins, which, you know, sounds nice.
It sounds cool.
You know, to get something like that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you do go for it if that's really the price. I find that hard to believe, although Edmonton might just be looking to just get rid of him. Sounds like he wants out.
Yeah.
How about a name that we've brought up before in Fedor Tuten?
Yeah, I like Fedor Tuten. That would be a guy I'd definitely be interested in taking a look at. For the right price, sure. Sure. I don't know. What's his contract at right now? Do you know?
I think he's got at least one more year, maybe two, and he is making... I'm going to look it up right now, dude, as I stall, and it comes up $2.8 million over the next 2 years. So that's a steal for Fedor Tuten, which would mean that Columbus, who again is in a rebuilding mode with a new coach, and they might want something really significant for him, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, Seto and...
Right.
So, is he worth Seto and?
Oh,
I don't know.
That's a tough call. Let's say you could sign Seto for 2.8 or have Fedor Tuten at 2.8.
I'd rather have Fedor Tuten.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I really would. I mean, just based on what the Sharks need, and Tuten's 26.
Yeah, I think I'd make that deal.
You can only go up from there. How about Brian McCabe, Florida, with Dale Talon? He might be looking to make some major moves. Maybe move Brian McCabe. Interested at all?
Yeah, if you could have him for a song. I think you might be able to get Brian McCabe for not a whole lot. If that's the case, I might take a flyer on Brian McCabe. I know we've had EJ Raddick, who hasn't said great things about Brian McCabe in the past. But
he's got 1 year left at 5.7. He's basically replacing Nabby's contract. But that's a lot of money for a guy who maybe is even more one-dimensional than Sheldon Surrey.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to probably say no.
Yeah.
And then a name that we've talked about before in Dennis Wiedemann.
Yeah, I love Dennis. I make the deal to get Dennis Wiedemann, not regardless of what they want, but if it's in the ballpark of reasonable, I would probably make that deal because he's that number two. He's the number two guy that you want, and he can do both offense and defense. You can put him with Boyle or split him up with Boyle. You know, the Boyle-Vlasic thing, I'd be really interested to see that, if that could happen, although both of those guys are a little undersized and you wouldn't have anybody to really punish anyone. But I would definitely like to see Dennis Wiedemann and Teal. I don't know if Boston would be willing to make that deal, but I would certainly
they're going to have to do something, dude, because they have less than $1 million in cap room and a lot of players to sign.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're going to have a number one draft pick to sign. And
that's true.
What they decide to do with, you know, if they get Sagan or Hall,
mm-hmm.
are they going to bring that kid in right away? Or are they going to let them sort of marinate, you know, if that's a decision they'll have to make? But Boston, they've got some big decisions to make. And, you know, if they can get someone to take Tim Thomas, good for them. But I think the one who might be the casualty there is Dennis Wiedemann.
Maybe we can get Chara. He's got a big, big contract.
He's got 1 year left. I'll give you Julian Demers.
Trade Joe back to Boston for Zdeno Chara.
The rights to Julian Demers for Chara.
There you go.
Dude. Did you notice that the Sharks did not have their annual fan?
Oh, yeah, they didn't have State of the Sharks.
They did not have State of the Sharks.
So that means they're not going to? It's over? They didn't.
Well, the Select-A-Seat is next week.
That's true.
So no State of the Sharks this year, unless we somehow missed it, which I find that hard to believe.
They would have put it on a blog or something. I read every Sharks blog there is.
So no State of the Sharks this year. Do you think that's because they felt like there was nothing to defend?
I guess.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, but the water in the bathrooms gets a little cold sometimes.
That is a terribly painful event to sit through.
Yes.
So I guess we should be grateful that we don't have to sit through it.
Yeah, because every time we go, I say I'm staying here an hour tops, and it's in 30 minutes in, I want to go.
We need to try and get down there and ask a question one of these years.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
So we've got some big stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks. You know, next week we can kind of do our preview of the draft, and mm-hmm. then we'll be taking a week off after that because you'll be out of town.
Yes, out of country.
Yes, delightful.
But then I'll be back after
free agent frenzy. You'll be back.
Agency,
so. Yeah, and we'll be able to recap the draft and free agency then, dude. So summer's starting to heat up.
It's starting to heat up, dude. Well, but Dudes on Hockey keeps on rolling. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can send us emails if you want us to talk about anything in particular, but we're still around. So we'll be back again next week, same time, same place.
Sergey Gonchar.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.